Come, let us worship God. Okay. Now we're going to go straight into today's scripture. It's John 1:14 and John 15:16. And if you have your Bibles, please take it out. If you don't, I'm sure the verses will be, or the scripture will be on the slideshow. So I'm going to go into John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And I'd like to invite Pastor Chris up here for the message.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. It is always good, like I always say, to have you guys here worshiping with us. Welcome to our church. We have just started a new series. It is about friendships, and not just friendships, but about Christian relationships, the Christian friendships. And last week, Pastor Tim kind of kicked us off, and he talked about the foundations for biblical friendship and how and what that takes. And ultimately, a big part of that is, our foundation needs to be grounded in our relationship with Christ. Everything kind of centers around that. Today, and actually next week, I get the privilege of doing kind of a back-to-back sermon preaching, which I don't always get to do, so it's kind of fun. But we're going to be talking about making friends and keeping friends. And just kind of a heads up, this message isn't very expository, exegetical. It's not really. We're not really going to open scripture and dig into it in that sense. But it's more hopefully practical, applicational. This is more of a topical thing because as we look at how to make friends, there really isn't that in the scripture. You don't really see Jesus saying this is how you're supposed to make friends. But we're going to take Christian concepts and stuff like that and build into. What does it mean to build these authentic relationships, these authentic Christian relationships? And so that is what we're going to be doing for this week and next week. Let me go ahead and pray first again, and then we will get into our sermon. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance for us to gather here in your house to come and worship you. We pray that this morning that you would really speak to us, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, just to your truth, to your word, to what you want to speak to us, and that we would be able to really build and make authentic Christian friendships amongst us. May you bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to start by doing a little story time. This is one of JJ, my son's, books. It's called But Not the Hippopotamus. Okay, but Not the Hippopotamus. And so we're going to do a little story time. If you can't read it, it's kind of small, so I took pictures of it and put it up on the screen so you guys can follow along, hopefully. Okay, story time. But Not the Hippopotamus by Sandra Boyton. Okay, but not the A hog and a frog cavort in the bog, but not the hippopotamus. A cat and two rats are trying on hats, but not the hippopotamus. A moose and a goose together have juice, but not the hippopotamus. A bear and a hare have been to a fair, but not the hippopotamus. Now the hog and the frog hurry out for a jog, with the cat and the rats in their new running hats. While the moose and the bear and the goose and the hare are doing their best to keep up with the rest, but not the hippopotamus. Then the animal lot comes scurrying back, saying, "Hey, come join the lot of us." And she just doesn't know. Should she stay? Should she go? But yes, the hippopotamus. but not the armadillo. Now, besides being kind of a fun and cute little book, I think there's some reality that is in the story, right? Sometimes in our lives, we are part of the group. We're part of that inside crowd. Sometimes we are maybe like the hippopotamus, sometimes on the outside of the group. And as we kind of go on through life, it's hard, right? Because we all, you know, kind of want to make friends. And that's ever since we're children, we're growing up, we're all kind of looking, you know, for friends. And it takes, you know, it takes time, it takes work, it's hard to kind of make friends. But that's how we are kind of made to be, right? God designed us, God made us as people who are relational beings. That's kind of just hardwired into us as people, is that we need relationships. We need to be with people. We need to, you know, have that engagement, and hopefully not just to have friends and not just to have people around us, but to have people really know us, right? To have people really understand who we are, that we can be ourselves. And I think as we go on kind of through life, this is always something that we need to learn. We need to learn how to do is, you know, how do we make friends, right? How do we make friends? Because every time you kind of move on to a new life stage, every time you kind of move on to a new situation, a new place, you have to learn how to make friends. And so this is hopefully a very practical, you know, message that we're going to learn today. Just a little bit sharing about myself. So when I was in elementary school, I was actually pretty outgoing. I was pretty out there. I had a pretty good friends around me in school. My best friend was this Caucasian guy. Here's a picture of us. His name was Nick Hopkins. He didn't always go topless. we're doing the Indian in the Cupboard. We did like a story, a book report on that together. And he wanted to be the Indian for some reason. And so, but anyways, if you can tell, Nick, he was really popular. He was one of the popular guys in school. He was tall, you know, blonde, blue-eyed, handsome, good-looking kid with, you know, his personality was really outgoing. He's really energetic. And I don't even remember how we became good friends. I really don't remember. But we were like best friends. And so I was a part of that in crowd. I mean, I was part of the popular group. And I, you know, we had a lot of friends and stuff like that, kind of running the show in elementary school. That was us. When I was in fifth grade, our family moved school districts. Okay, so we moved from Cupertino to Saratoga. And even though, if you guys know the area, the distance isn't very far, right? It's only a couple miles away. But it's a whole new school district, so it's a whole new set of people, new friends and stuff that I had to make. And so my friends that I knew, they all went to one school. I went to a different school. And as you kind of enter into middle school, you know, that's that awkward time where your puberty is kind of going out of whack, and, you know, you start getting a bit self-conscious about yourself and all that. And when I went to this new school, I actually became a lot more shy, a lot more reserved. You know, I didn't know anyone, and my personality is kind of interesting. I don't know why, but just at school, I didn't really go make an effort or anything to really go out. And so, you know, I was one of the quiet kids at school, in middle school, and I just kind of kept to myself. I had a few friends, you know, a couple of guys that I'd play ball with, you know, over like breaks or whatever, whenever we could during lunchtime. But that was about it. And the thing for me, though, that was interesting, I think, was that my kind of social friend, my group, was really my church friends. And so even though at school I was this quiet, shy guy, back at church, my church friends didn't change, right? Even though we moved school district, we still went to the same church, had the same friends. And so, you know, I was still really outgoing, and, you know, I was part of the, you know, the cool kids, I guess, at church. And so it was kind of two different things. At school, I'd be really quiet, but then at church on Fridays and Sundays and stuff, I'd be really, you know, outgoing and stuff like that. But we kind of do that, right? If you guys kind of think about it, I think as you kind of go through life, you kind of have to always learn how to make new friends, right? I went off to college, again, brand new church, brand new friends, school friends, had to meet new people. After that, went to seminary, same thing. Our family moved. We went to a different church in Irvine. We did all these different things. I went to seminary, make new friends, everything, right? So everywhere we kind of go, every time you kind of move, every time new place, you have to kind of go again and make new friends. And so making friends is a part of our lives. I think that is a big thing, big part of who we are, kind of who we kind of have. We have to kind of learn how to make friends, okay? Now, there's a couple of reasons why, I think, before we get into how to make friends, reasons why people don't initiate, why people don't always go out of their ways to make friends. So a couple of things I was thinking about, like, why don't people really want to make friends? One reason I believe is because it's a lot of hard work. It really is, right? And we're going to talk about this more next week, but if you really want to make friends, and not just make them, but keep friends, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of putting yourself out there and needing to talk to people and chit-chat and kind of do the little things before those relationships go deeper. It takes a lot. And people have, you know, fear of rejection, right? You're afraid, you know, to do that. You have, you know, just maybe shy, like I was at school. Maybe, you know, people have kind of these judgmental attitudes, maybe like, oh, they're weird, they're different, I don't want to meet with them. So there's a lot of reasons why. But it's a lot of hard work, right? If you really want deep, good relationships, and I think for those of you guys who, you know, have those, you guys know that it takes a really, really long time, right? It might take years for those to really form. You might know people, they're cool, you're cool with people, you have acquaintances, you kind of know people, but to really have those deep friendships, they take a long time. And sometimes people are like, you know, I don't want to deal, you know, I don't want to take that much effort to go and make these friendships, and so I just, you know, I don't even start. Or maybe people are like, you know, I don't know, you know, where I'm going to be in the next, I'm going to, you know, go off to wherever, so I'm here only temporarily, you know, why make the effort again, because it takes so much time, so much effort. And then as you get older, these relationships get more complicated. So a lot of you guys who are young, who youth group and stuff, a lot of times it's just you, your friends, right, you kind of meet, and that's those relationships. But as you get married, and if you have kids, it gets even more complicated. This is a little chart that they had. Is not only do you have your relationships with, okay, so first, hopefully you and husband and wife have a good relationship, right? So there's that first, you have to build those. But as you want to, as a couple, want to like meet another couple to be friends with, it's complicated because not only that, but the husbands need to like each other, right? The wives need to like each other. The husband and the other wife needs to like, you know, have good relationships. It goes both ways. So there's a lot kind of going on. And then you throw in a kid or two kids, and man, it's like even more complicated because now their kids need to like each other, right? So even if you and the other couple like each other, the kids don't like each other, then you're not going to hang out. Or if, you know, and then you have like schedules, and this is what we're learning right now. You know, like, oh, like, we want to hang out, let's hang out. Yeah, oh, what's your kid's schedule like? Oh, he sleeps from, you know, 1 to 3. Oh, sorry, ours is from, you know, 3 to 5 or whatever, I don't know. It's not that. But anyways, it's complicated, and you have to kind of work through these things, right? So a lot of times people, so much work, so much effort, it's okay, don't deal with it, you know, we have our family, we'll just stay together, we don't need to go and make new friends, because it takes a lot of time, and a lot of effort, a lot of energy. But having good, authentic Christian friendships and relationships is important. And that's kind of the emphasis that we're trying to push for you guys to see, is that it isn't easy, but it is worth it. It is worth it to have these people here, and well, I'll get into this a little bit more later, to really support us and have one another. Another reason why I think that a lot of people don't want to initiate friends or make friends is because they have too many already, or they have an abundance. So last week, you know, Pastor Tim asked, you know, how many of you guys, you know, on Facebook, you know, have more than, you know, 500 Facebook friends or whatever it was, right? And I didn't look around, but I'm guessing a lot of us, if you kind of look at it, you have a lot of friends, right? Friends. I put those in quotes because you really can't have like deep, authentic relationships with every single one of your 500, 1,000 friends or how many friends you guys have on Facebook, right? Because they take a lot of time and energy and all that. But, you know, our capacity is full, right? We do have a lot of people, and everywhere you go and everywhere you meet, you make these friends and you kind of keep them, and then it kind of adds up and adds up and adds up. So a lot of times, you know, you come to maybe a new situation, new place, and again, you're just like, well, I already have a lot of friends. Social media makes it kind of easier, right, to kind of just keep connected. You can check in, you can chat with them, whatever it is. So he was like, yeah, I already have, you know, I'm good. You know, I already have people I know. I don't need to make any more. I'm good. But, again, my hope is, can Canaan, can this church, can this community be the priority? Okay, can we really focus on the relationships that we have here at this church. Again, for me and my wife, you know, we have a lot of, you know, relationships as well. We have friends from our previous church that we're at. You know, we have, you know, again, college friends and seminary friends, and we have friends from, you know, who used to go to Canaan but not anymore. They're, you know, we still have these connections and stuff like that. And those are fine. Again, those are good. They're good to have these relationships. But my hope is that we would have real, deep, authentic friendships here at Canaan, because this is a place that we are here together, week to week together. And I really hope that it isn't just a once-a-week thing, right? That we're not just coming, you know, once on Sundays, maybe another time to a small group or something like that. But then the rest of the week, you know, we're not committing, you know, really to one another. The early church, if you really looked at it, again, this is the famous passage from Acts, but this early church, and we look at, you know, what they did together, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayers, and they came upon every soul, and the wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed together, and all these things they had in common. And they were selling their possessions, belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day all those who were being saved. And we see here again, there's this idea about day by day, they're meeting together, they're gathering together, they're meeting together, they're having that fellowship, that community together. And I really hope, and we've talked about this, we've emphasized this already, but this is what we want, that you guys would do life together. It wouldn't just be once a week, once a thing, kind of check in and, you know, just see how we're doing, and that's it. But it would be, you know, every day. You know, even though I know a lot of us, we live not always so close to each other, and our lives are busy, but can we have that kind of relationship, those connections, that, hey, you know, every day we're trying to connect with one another, you know, spur one another along, encourage one another, keep each other accountable. You know, this is what the community should look like, right? This is what the community should look like. I just like this little slice. I threw it in there. In life, it's not where you go. It's who you travel with, right? And I really hope that this is us, that we are traveling through life together, right? And that we are doing that. We're committed to one another here, right? There is something to be said about doing life together here. And so hopefully my hope, my prayer is that we would make that commitment to one another, right? Again, good to have other friends, outside friends, those are fine to have, but let's really make, you know, this community strong. Let's really make this a place where, you know, we are, you know, really growing together. Mm-hmm. So how are we supposed to make friends? Okay, that's the thought or the question for today. You know, how do we make friends? And the two passages that Eric read for us, let's look at them again. John 1:14 says, "And the Word," meaning Jesus, "He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, He may give it to you." So there's three things that I think that we can do in terms of how to make friends. What can we do? The first thing is, I hope, for us to initiate. Okay, we need to make the effort, right? We need to take that first step, and we need to go out of our way to try and make friends, right? We need to put our effort into it. If we all just kind of come and just sit and wait for somebody else to initiate, it's not going to happen, right? So we need to make the effort. We need to put the time in to trying to, you know, reach out to others and to get to know them, right? To do that. We see that with Jesus. This is the kind of concept that we see here, right? Jesus, He was God. He was up in heaven, and He had a relationship, you know, with us, but He decided, He chose, right, to come down. He humbled Himself, as we sang today in the songs, to come and be amongst us, right? He took that initiative. He came. The other passage in John 15 says, you know, "I chose you." You know, He came and He said, I choose you. You know, I want you to be my friend. You know, I want to have that relationship with you. So He came I like this slide, it's kind of cute. It says, I want to be a guinea pig too. I don't know, the guinea pig said. Being a guinea pig is hard work. It's just a cute picture. But there's this idea of God kind of coming down and saying, you know what? You're different than me, right? You're not quite, you know, the same. But I'm going to do whatever I need to do, you know, to, again, to have that relationship with you, to relate to you, to get to know you, right? I'm going to make those opportunities happen. And so hopefully you guys can do that. Start thinking about, hey, you know what? If you are looking for friendships or, you know, again, just kind of seeing the community around us, you know, how can I, you know, what can we do? Just inviting people to a meal, to hang out, you know, kind of going out of your way to just, you know, check in and say, hey, you know, just, you know, wanted to see how you're doing. You know, do these things daily. Do these things daily that we would have that. Right? So take the initiative. Start finding those opportunities. Make opportunities. You know, create something, you know, and have people come and gather. That's what we need to do in order to, you know, to make friends, right? We need to take that first step. Take that first step. The second thing that we see here is there's a balance that we need to have between grace and truth. You know, we need to have this between grace and truth, as the passage says. The idea about grace is this, I think, is that we would see that we would accept one another for who each other are. Okay, we're all flawed people. Okay, we all have our, you know, weird quirks. We all have our weird things that are, you know, that might rub people the wrong way. We might you know, not always have the same interests and stuff like that. But can we show grace to one another in terms of that, in terms of saying, you know what, you're different. We might not always see eye to eye on things, but I'm going to extend, you know, that friendship. I want to try to work around it, get past it, okay, you know, so that we can be able to build, you know, this friendship up, right? I'm going to see, even though, again, yeah, you might be a little odd, a little different than me, but hey, we can get along, we can build those friendships, right? So kind of show grace to one another. I really hope that we'd be able to do that. Even if people, again, mess up, they might say something that might seem offensive to you or something, like, hey, let's see if we can, you know, work those out and be able to show grace to another. The other side of it is showing truth. And hopefully this is the idea for me is that, you know, you guys would really be genuine about who you are, really be able to be just you. You know, you don't have to fake it. Hopefully, again, by showing grace to one another, that we can be able to just be vulnerable. Again, just kind of saying, hey, this is who I am, and I, you know, these are my flaws and all that. These are my interests and all that. But be genuine. Be who you are. And I think we should be able to, you know, have that. Okay, if we can be able to be genuine to one another, serve, then we can be able to, again, you know, work together and build those deep friendships. Okay, we can be able to work through that. Okay, so show grace, show truth, be able to speak truth to one another. That's another thing that we need to be able to do. We've also talked about this before, but it's hard, right? It's hard to sometimes call people out, right? To be able to say, hey, you know, you need to change the lifestyle that you're doing. You know, what you're saying is not right. How you're acting is not right. But we hopefully have those good enough friendships, you know, that we can be able to speak truth into one another's lives and say, hey, you need to change, you need to repent, you need to sin, you are sinning, so please, you know, repent from that sin, and you need to, you know, make things right, and hopefully we would be able to do that, okay? Again, have grace, have truth. And the last thing I think that we can do together and to really build up our friendships with one another is to serve together. One of the best ways that all of my friends, the ones that I'm really close with, are the ones that I have, you know, done life together with, and a lot of it is through serving God together. That's really where it gets things happen, I believe. That's really where authentic friendships really begin. It's when people come together and it's not just hanging out, it's not just having fun, although those are good times. But it's where we have a purpose. We're saying, hey, we're going to do this together. You know, we're going to focus on, you know, what God is doing, and we're going to do that together. Those are the friends that I've gone on mission trips with, right? I think those friendships are a little bit deeper because you go through a lot together. For those of you guys who've done like short-term missions, you go through a lot together, right? There's a lot of ups. There's some downs. There's hard times. You know, times where you need to pray for one another. Really, you know, you're tired and you're cranky and whatever. You're not getting enough sleep, and you know it's hot and whatever, gross. And you come together. You band together because of that situation, right? And you pull together to serve and continue to serve God, encourage one another. And I think that's why those friendships really last and really are deeper because of that. I think for those of you, and we have great opportunities for you guys to do that, again, to serve at like VBS and stuff like that, and other opportunities where you really come together and you say, hey, you know what, this is tough, it's difficult, I'm tired, but when you do that together, that's when those relationships really, really, really deepen, really build up. So I encourage you guys to do that, to find opportunities to really serve together, to say, hey, how can we, you know, make, you know, what is God doing? How can I get involved? You know, how can we get involved together in kind of what God is doing around us? Okay. That is my prayer for us as a church, that we would really be a Christian community, that we would really be a church, a place where we can be authentic with one another, a place where we are serving together, in a place where we are taking that initiative, where we're going out of our ways to say, hey, you know what? I want to do this life with you together. Can we go? Let's do this together. Not just to isolate ourselves, right? Not just to be, you know, on our, you know, just kind of in our own little communities or small things, right? But we are a church, right? We are small little groups, but we're one big church. And so hopefully, you know, that we would do that, that we would have that. Okay? So that was actually really short. There's a lot faster than I thought I would go. But I'm done with my message. So let me go ahead and I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and let us continue to build our friendships together. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you again just for this church community. I thank you for Canaan and all the people that are here. And I pray that you would help us, that you would help us to really make authentic friendships and relationships with one another. I know that it's a lot of hard work. I know that it takes a lot of time and effort and energy. Sometimes it's awkward. We have to put ourselves out there. But I pray that we would do it. We do it because we know that it is good. We know that it is something that is necessary. It is something that is beneficial for us, that we could really have that support, have that, you know, those people around us to push one another and just to really, yeah, serve you together. And so I pray that you deepen the friendships that we have here, that you would help us to initiate and make more relationships and friendships here at Canaan, and that this would really be a community that is loving you and loving others. Thank you. We love you in Jesus' name and pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. In response to his message, I'd like to invite all of us to join together, if not in prayer, at least a word of response. Please read the people portion out loud. Merciful God, in all of our celebration, fireworks, parables, parades and gatherings, we have proclaimed liberty and freedom. We live in these chains, often not knowing that there is really any other way. We have become accustomed to our imprisonment and fail to reach out in friendship to the lonely. Help us to place our trust in you and serve you by working with others for peace and hope for all. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as Pastor Chris preached, one of the ways that God sets the model for us in making friends is that he reached out to us first. We did not come to him with anything that made us attractive or valuable, but he took those steps. It was not convenient, it was not easy for him to restore that relationship with us so that he could call us his friends and that we could call him our Lord and our Savior. As we sing this hymn, is recognizing that we come to God empty, we come to God asking to be filled, but it is because of God's work that we are able to come.